post-apocalyptic wasteland. The last video store on Earth still spreads the lost art of cinema. But during the month of October, its employees and some special guests shine a spotlight on horror!
I bid you welcome to this year's Shocktober. I am Dave, and I am one of the undead, a vampire. I was a middle-aged man of 38 when I was turned by one of my employees, a large-headed, bespectacled predator in the night named Ryan. In the year that followed, I would spend my nights feasting on the rodents and mutated deer that roamed in the night. I thought I would go mad without ever tasting of Taco Bell again. But over time, I grew to love the warm blood of two-headed rats and Capri Sun blood packs. I eventually made some friends in the dark alleys of Bartertown. Friends who shared my particular ailment of needing to feast on human blood. They took me in and made me a member of the Poetry Slam and Fanfic Society at the local bar and grill. Our story takes place at that very establishment, Lestat's Bar and Grill, during a very special month-long promotion called Vamptober. Tonight's feature, a screening of the 2003 Len Wiseman Matrix Vampire Mashup, Underworld. But first, the opening act, from none other than former Apocalypse Video employee, Cody, as he regales us with a story of sordid ancestry and vampire franchise mashups. Let us hear his tale.
It was official. Some moron had gotten hold of an old diary of my mother's and made a movie about my parents' affair. Called it something stupid. Under something? Where it differs, my grandfather was the one who ended up dead, and my mother gave birth to me while watching his ash fly around with the breeze, or so I was told. My father did not know that she had me, as he had been bitten himself and was in the middle of turning. The other difference was our species. My family are vampires, yes, and werewolves, but the vampires are cold ones. We can go out in the daytime, just not in the sunlight, as it would look weird. Maybe not so much in these times with people covering themselves with shimmering body moistures, but it's still odd. My mother had sent me here, hoping my father and I could meet someday, and she hoped he would accept me. I was not as hopeful as she was, but I still longed to know the man who was my father. Mother had had the same wish since I was a child, yet I am still to meet the man, my father. However hesitant I was about that. So instead, I convinced the police chief I was his niece. He took me in, and since no one could know who I was, this was who I pretended to be. So who am I? My name is Isabella. I wasn't born with a surname, so I took on his. Now I'm Bella Swan. I'm a 2,600-year-old werewolf vampire hybrid. My father was a werewolf, and my mother was a vampire-human mixture herself. That was how she managed to have me before she was turned fully by her mate. Her name was Sonia, but she changed it to get away from my grandfather, Victor, and his coven, the leaders of the original Romanian coven. Daddy Dearest wasn't aware of me from what Mom told me. He didn't even know how she became pregnant for fear of our lives. Mother had found her mate in one of my father's companions before starting the coven. Being a hybrid, I didn't have as many problems with my skin as the rest of the family. I've been in America for a while now. My father and two others, one of which happens to be my stepfather, created a coven not long after somebody made my father into a hybrid himself. My stepfather's brother was hunting the werewolves and accidentally turned my father. My father was known as Lucian, until he adopted a new identity, Arrow. My mother's name was Sonia, now she is Didymi. She found her mate, my stepfather, Marcus. This is getting a little convoluted. Anyways, on to Underworld.
Audience, you may applaud now.
Please clap.
Jeez. Beautiful.
We now present you with the 2003 action classic, Underworld.
Ooh.
The war itself had become more perilous. The weapons had evolved. But our orders remained the same. Hunt them down and kill them off, one by one.
They are the immortal damned. One family lusting for power and wealth.
The chain has never been broken, not in 14 centuries.
Another driven by revenge.
Soon we'll defeat the vampires on their own ground.
Blood!
You see this human?
He's attractive.
I can't be positive, but I'm beginning to think the Lycans are following him.
Hello, Michael.
Who are you people?
You're in the middle of a war that's been raging for the better part of 1,000 years. A blood feud between vampires and lycans. Werewolves.
Now, a decision must be made.
Why did you bring him here?
You saved my life.
Between an oath sworn centuries ago.
A human. He's not a human at all. He's a lycan.
And a power.
There can be no such union.
Greater than vengeance.
You'll be lucky if I can convince the council to spare your life.
Absolution will be yours the moment you kill Michael.
Honestly, just the spiritual sequel to Lost Boys, you know? Lost Boys, the 80s goth vampire. This is very much the early 2000s goth vampire.
Yeah, yeah.
This is... Len Wiseman saw The Matrix 4 years earlier. It was like, what if I did that, but with vampires and werewolves?
And also, how do I get people to let me do it? Because it's my first movie ever. I've only directed, industrial music videos.
And also, there's this hottie called Kate Beckinsale, and what if I get involved?
How do I break up my marriage and hers?
And what if I wreck some homes?
You've read that too, huh?
We've all read
the wiki.
I can only imagine, like, the costume fittings. Like, Len, is it really necessary for you to be here? Yeah, yeah.
I gotta see how the camera light reflects off the
leather. Get a little bit more snatched. Looking good, babe.
Michael Sheen is, like, standing in a scene where Len Wiseman's directing Kate Beckinsale. It's like, yeah, Kate, that's perfect.
Real quick.
You're looking so good.
Do you guys want to turn to dust when I tell you this fact?
Please.
Kate Beckinsale, 30 years old when she made this movie. Wiseman, 30 years old when he made this movie. Michael Sheen, 34.
I mean, I just
the youngest. Like,
I'm honestly not that surprised by those ages, except for the director being 30. That's kind of wild. That a third, like, you don't really. There's not a lot of 30-year-old directors. I feel like that's a later in life thing.
His, like, career is really weird. He started in movies doing as a prop assistant,
mm-hmm.
and then he did that until like 97, 98. Then directed music videos for 5 years, and then this was his first movie.
Dave, I only say this because I pulled the perfect quote, but I don't think we've introduced ourselves
yet. Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, fuck. Hold on. Oh, God, I got a quote.
I mean, to be honest, Michael pulled the only standalone quote.
Well, I'm all thrown off because we're recording in this goth vampire bar.
You wanted to say ballroom, I think.
We're recording this podcast in like a corner booth. My rhythm's off. So I'm your host, Dave. I'm joined again by Michael.
What's that ruckus?
That's good. That's good. That's good. Oh, yeah. That's my quote.
Hey, Bill Nye, are you good?
I'm also joined by... Jackie.
There's not a single quote in this movie. There's no, they don't say words in this movie. I'm sorry.
Well, like the Lost Boys, they say, Victor, Glavin, Lucien, Celine.
Lycan.
Over and over and over again.
They say, like, they say, it's like Pokemon. They can say the character names.
They can only say character names. That's it.
And finally, the leader of our coven, Cody.
Your incompetence is becoming most taxing.
Does Bill Nye, I feel like Bill Nye...
He just has all the one-liners.
He carries this movie on his shoulders, yeah. In my opinion.
Well, like, and Michael Sheen. Michael Sheen is here to be a wet little weasel, yeah, with the spark of charisma for most, yes, of the movie.
I think Bill Nye and Michael Sheen and some other little blips and bloops are like... some bright spots in the movie.
But our leads are not bringing it.
Like, they're the only two that are really, I feel, making real choices. Everyone else just is so bland.
Can we get into, like, for this episode, I really want to know everyone's background with these movies. Because I'll say, like, so this is my first time seeing one of them. But
same.
I was very, like, aware of what they were. Like... just that they were a thing, and I feel like I knew people that liked them. In my mind, I was in high school when these were coming out, and I feel like the people, this is definitely my, like, stereotype at the time, but I assume people who were juggalos like this movie.
What?
Like, that was the crowd. Like, the same person who was listening to ICP was also talking about Underworld and had, like, Underworld on PSP, UMD.
Wow.
Or, you know, like, not quite the, like, the goth, not like the, maybe not the Lost Boys goth or, like, the Crow goth, but maybe a bit more of, like, the more chain-heavy goth, you know?
My only impression of these films as they were coming out was, like, from various commercials and advertising and just thinking, like, Kate Beckinsale's real pretty. Period. The end.
She jumps a lot.
She's jumping around and wears, like, a leather corset, and she does do that in these films. So that does happen.
They sold the shit out of her jumping, like, in slow-mo. They sold the movie on that.
Every time she lands in those little heeled boots, and it is a chunky heel, it must be said, but every time she lands like that, I'm just kind of like, ugh, ouch. Ouch, my knees.
That's because you don't have vamp knees.
That's true. When you're a vampire, your knees get so strong.
I gotta say, and we'll get back to, we'll circle back. You brought up something I wanna address right now. The in my opinion, the real kind of surprising lack of powers that most of the vampires have.
I was thinking the same thing.
With the exception of Bill Nighy, most of the vampires are basically like Matrix ripoffs.
They shoot guns.
Hold on, Cody. I'll let you get in here. But I gotta say, like, my big thing, there was a moment watching this movie where I was literally, I didn't say this out loud, but I was just like, what are we doing here? Was the vampires?
You should have said it out loud.
"Quote unquote vampires run in, and they just look like military guy, like military."
Well, the moment I had is like it's like a scene towards the end. One of the scenes, like where I think they're like underground. So it's one of the scenes.
Of course, it's wet.
One of the action scenes, and it was just a fleet of people with guns. Yeah, like a military action, and it was all this like
read as vampire to me.
It doesn't, and maybe that's okay. Maybe that's like a thing to get over, and maybe what they're doing is something else. But I was
it's just guns, huh?
Missing. I wanted more vampire out of this movie.
Yeah, even Celine, who is like the main death dealer that we see in the movie, it's like, yeah, she jumps a couple times, but other than that, she just relies on her guns for the most part. Like, she doesn't really do any vampire-y things.
Well, Cody, I feel like we need to let you speak.
He's been bravely holding his
this
tongue.
This whole time, Cody has just been...
So, yeah, just choking on your tongue.
Let me bring both existing plot lines in our episode thus far, our history and what's up with these vampires in one story. The year is 2003.
Oof.
I am living up in Wisconsin, small town Wisconsin, and I'm hanging out with another kid named Cody French. He also was new that year to school. Cody, if you're out there, shout out in the wasteland. You know, it's been
two Codys, two furious.
Just two.
He's a
Codys,
vampire now.
Just two Codys. You know, showing up to school the first day, being both brand new kids. His last name starts with an F. Mine starts with an E. We're both right next to each other in every class. It's weird, but we quickly become friends because this kid and myself are into a little thing called Vampire the Masquerade.
Okay. Now,
Vampire the Masquerade is a 90s era role-playing game in which vampires are goth as hell.
Yeah.
And I'm they familiar. Also don't all have insane powers. Very often, you're playing a game of Vampire the Masquerade, and you're a pretty new vampire. You haven't really gained any superpowers. Okay. But what can you get? Guns. And then you fight other vampires. mostly, you don't typically fight werewolves, because werewolves are very scary and dangerous. You'd need some
Seems like
artillery.
It, yeah.
So you'd need to have probably like a squad of death dealers or something, with some special silver shurikens that pop out and retract.
Wow.
You do need to get some shurikens
this
in the mix.
Sounds like you were uniquely primed for this movie release in 2003.
I had never played Vampire the Masquerade, but I had read Cody's rule book because he played it.
Is some Cody behavior.
It is. I know, sharing rule
that's books. The behavior of a Cody.
Yeah, truly. And so, yeah, I was like, this movie came to theaters, and I was like, I'm fucking down. But while watching it, I didn't, seeing the trailers, I'm like, cool, it's a vampire versus werewolves movie, I'm into that. While watching it was when I was like, whoa, this is like full, like, this is just Vampire the Masquerade, this whole world, the concept of these covens, the idea that there's the older vampires that are like more vampiric or have more powers, and that they run these big citywide covens, these hierarchies of vampires that run the world and stuff like that. And the concept of these werewolves being typically in Vampire the Masquerade, werewolves are like, they're almost positioned as like eco-terrorists very often in the old werewolf, the apocalypse.
They're killing everyone's goats.
They're
taking all the livestock. Come on.
So, anyways, that's why everything is like.
Was there
this whole movie right there.
Was there ever any like on the record stuff about like an influence of Vampire the Masquerade on this movie?
They went to court.
It
went to court. Oh, okay.
There was litigation. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, because the first movie is created by Kevin Graveau, who also plays Reyes, the very deep voiced big black vampire or werewolf, excuse me.
He's a werewolf.
He's the guy in the very beginning who goes bloods, and then they all just start.
Is he the guy who's like ripping
the shurikens out of
his chest?
Yes, he's great. He's awesome. I think it was his first writing credit. And I believe there was a, Dave, do you have this pulled up? There was a lawsuit, and it was like a, but the person suing him wasn't about Werewolf the Masquerade. It was about, it was like their own supernatural romance story that they're
The lawsuit was filed by White Wolf Inc., who did Vampire the Masquerade and Werewolf the Apocalypse games, and Nancy A. Collins, who wrote a story in 1994 called The Love of Monsters.
Yes. Okay, cool. And that Love of Monsters story, I would bet money, is short fiction inside one of their rule books.
Okay.
Because that was a big thing. Like, so when Michael says this is Juggalo movie, it's not. It's the Crow goth movie, but Juggalos, we're becoming more popular. Anyways.
Juggalos were also there.
There were, count them, 17 counts. They filed 17 counts of copyright.
I thought you were going to say there were 17 Juggalos.
There were 17 Juggalos involved
over 80 points of unique similarity between the game and the movie.
I mean, it sounds like it is pretty heavily lifted from what I'm hearing.
Yes.
I did also want to shout out the other writer because it makes you do a double take. Danny McBride. Not that one.
But not that Danny McBride, yes.
Not that one.
Well, and
this
Danny
McBride's
movie,
only other credits are basically Underworld. And Underworld.
And he got his whole start in the business as a stunt guy and then made friends with Len Wiseman as set guys, like people who are on film sets but not actually behind the camera. Or
below the line, as they
below
say.
Below the line, sure. And Kevin Graveau, I think, is the only one of the three who had like stuff going on before then, because he was an actor before then. So I don't know. It's a very weird group of people who came together to then make this movie, shoot it all in Prague. So it was dirt cheap.
I'm sure.
That's why all the signs are also not in English, which is very fun. You're like, oh yes, it should be in some strange European city.
It feels not in a bad way. It feels cheap, and again, I don't mean that as like a negative against it, but it feels like a cheap movie.
And there is the vibe of a lot of the you know, places that, you know, where we go in the film, all of it with, you know, pouring down rain, but of like the buildings do feel a little more like old world, like
stale
than
concrete.
Well, that's yeah. too, kind of the vibes. But
stale concrete yeah. and tiled walls.
Yeah, there's like no storefronts.
A lot, and just make it all dripping wet.
It's so funny, like the amount of rain in this movie, like it obviously opens with an action sequence in the pouring rain. The amount of rain and like the how hard it's raining, it kind of became funny. But like by the end of it, I'm expecting to hear like news bulletins in the background of like
tsunami
unprecedented flooding,
coming.
Like evacuate like, the city now.
This is like a world that always it is always thundering.
It's
now,
always
all
wet
the
and thundering.
You might say it's a world of darkness.
Yes,
it's a world of water.
We have to make sure that the male lead's hair is always dripping wet and stringy.
Scott Speedman, you're like, oh, okay, I get it. His role is handsome man. I get it.
It's like I expected them at one point to drive by a TV and we would see a news character saying like, and in other news, it is now the 367th day without sunlight
right.
here.
Right, like in other news, like the biblical flood of Noah is here.
has been here.
We have 30 days remaining.
It's fine. There's no humans in this city. It's just vampires and werewolves. And
that
like,
is
and
that
lichens.
Was another funny thing that I assume is a budget thing. But so one of my notes is, I think the only human in this entire world is the guy's coworker at
Doctor Prison Break.
The doctor.
Yeah,
I think that doctor is the only human in this whole city at the very least.
You guys want to hear something crazy?
Tell me.
There's two people with last names in this movie. It's Michael Corvin, human man,
sure.
and his colleague Adam Lockwood. Everybody else is one name.
Adam Lockwood is the only human being in this universe.
Everyone else is Celine or Blaze or Trix with an X.
Everyone else like literally is
or
a vampire
Singe,
or a werewolf.
Singe.
I'm telling you, that's the shit. This movie. Here's the thing: you guys are dogging on it, but actually, it kind of whips ass. And
Cody, I want to hear your you mentioned you were prime for this movie, but like, what is your history with Underworld and like the franchise as a whole?
Yeah, okay. Saw Underworld 1 in theaters. Saw Underworld 2 in theaters.
Who didn't tolerate?
Okay, when 2003 Cody saw Underworld in theaters, did you come back? Did you like walk out of that theater like, hell yeah?
Absolutely. Okay. Because here's what it is. It's the Matrix with vampires and werewolves.
Yes.
And the hero, our hero of the movie, uses a longsword to cut a vampire's head in half.
That did.
Watching the same movie.
Cool. That did
it
whip
gave
ass.
Me everything I needed.
It's true.
It gave me everything I needed.
That fucking anime ass ending of Bill Nighy being like, oh.
The full turn, his head's when that happens, and then his head just, you're like, oh my god.
Cody, I gotta say, like, I was so delighted when Bill Nighy was. I like literally was like, "Is that Bill Nighy?" Like
the
voice.
From the voice, Michael was like, "Is that Bill Nighy?"
And then, of course, you see it's Bill Nighy, and then just looking at like the franchise after watching it, it's just seeing like he's on the poster in a throne on like one of the movie posters for one of the sequels.
Yes, of course. Yeah, no, it's that's the thing. Okay, I got to talk more about this, right? This movie, you said it looks cheap, but not in like a bad way. And I would almost agree it's not the cheapness. It looks small because everything's kind of in these like two sets and they're close. But
so many hallways.
But that's the thing. You got to have hallways so you can show all the bullets exploding on the walls.
Yeah.
And so you can show werewolves crawling. But here's the thing. This movie gets to a werewolf transformation in 7 minutes. They knew. They're like, listen, you're here for a movie about vampires and werewolves. We're going to have Kate Beckinsale narrate the nature of the world. Vampires, you know what they look like. They look like pretty people.
Yeah.
But werewolves. And then you see you see these werewolves' faces just, you know, get just disastrously blown out skulls. It's awesome. It's so badass. And it happens immediately.
Then nothing happens for the whole entire second act of the movie.
Well, hold on. Yes. Then it does weirdly slow down in some strange ways. I was watching this and I just, you know, rewatching it and thinking about it. Like, you know, I remember this being more action packed, whatever. And this whole kind of like, oh, why are they tracking this human? What's going on there? And then we cut to Lucien and Singe. They're going through the bloodline. Love
Singe.
That shit.
Enhance.
Enhance. Who is that? He's hot.
Yeah, that was funny. That moment of like, who is that? He's hot. And like, it's just a guy. Like, you can barely see anything.
It's
in that.
It's still pretty pixelated.
Yeah, it's still pretty pixelated. But her friend there, and by her friend, I do mean the other vampire who absolutely wants to jump the main guy's bones.
For some reason.
Truly, he is such a weasel. Like, he really...
It's because he always has the most outrageous outfit on, I bet, where she's just like, ooh, that bedazzled silk top. I love it.
Oh, God.
I want to fuck him.
This is, of course, Kraven.
Kraven
is the current leader of the vampires.
Now, Cody, is this any relation to Kraven, the movie that came out? Like
the Hunter, you mean?
Was that a Marvel movie?
It is not, because we know that Kraven the Hunter is a brave man. Mm. And this Kraven is more like Kraven with a C, in fact.
I was going to say. Like, how did you all not see this coming, that he was double crossing us? His name is Kraven. Come on.
It's one of those things where you're like, and Dave, I think to your point, this is kind of why the second act is kind of just nothing. It seems like a first script in a lot of ways, right? They're just like, cool, we have a cool action sequence and the whole plot is this, and they're like, okay, well, how do you get that across? Fuck. I don't know. Okay, he wakes up and escapes, but then in the same night he comes back, and then they escape again.
More escaping.
And then they come back to the house.
Yeah. And then... Dude,
there were so many scenes of... We basically see the same scene happen three times.
Yes.
Celine, escapes. She finds something out, goes back, leaves, goes yes. back.
Can I tell
leaves,
you? Can I tell you a moment that broke me? Or not, it didn't break me, that's a bit dramatic, but there was a moment... Okay, maybe I'm a dummy. Cody... Tell me if I'm if I'm missing something here.
Okay.
You know when they lock her up, they're yes. like, "All right, well you done.
You stay in here till yeah, you
like,
think
even,
about what
like,
you've
it's
done."
When Bill Nye is first like, "You're my daughter," but like you went against the rules, you know?
Yeah, so, she fucked up.
There's yeah, so they go to lock place. Her There's up, reasons. And they like lock her in this room, and it's like, oh, I'm like locked and stuck in this room, and the blonde friend vampire breaks her
Frenemy.
Out, right?
Yes. Erica.
She breaks her out, like she opens the door for her and's like, okay, like the door is open now. And then she just jumps out the window.
Yes, indeed. She jumps out the window.
Why didn't she just jump out the window in the first place?
Like, so it wasn't so much that she couldn't escape. It was that everything was on lockdown. Like guards were outside her window.
Except
they're
the
wandering
window.
Around.
And, so when and Erica, the front gate.
Because yeah. she like trips the thing, so the alarm goes off, so everyone like runs to go see, they oh, scram. What's going to...
Okay, so the alarm was also like the distraction.
Yeah, sure.
She flips like, it looks like a big electrical power switch.
I'll buy that.
And when that happens, it triggers an alarm, you know, so everybody scatters.
I'll give that to you.
It is so funny though, because like right, so yeah, Kate Beckinsale jumps out the window and escapes
Does
in her Batmobile that she's hydroplaning all
yeah,
over the
she
place.
Breaks
and,
two more of her
and,
knees, I'm sure.
Opens up the electric gates and everything. And then like after that, we see the vamps inside, and they're like, "We need to go on lockdown." It's like, except for Celine, who just escaped out of a car, which seems yeah. like you guys probably could. Anyway. Yeah,
again,
what a film.
This is role-playing game logic. Somebody yeah. comes up with a thing, they're like, oh, I'll trip this. And the person running the game, in this case, Len Wiseman's like, that's good enough, I'm going to let this happen.
Yeah, okay, you rolled a 7, it's fine.
Ryan mentioned this.
I do need you to progress the story, so I will let you escape this way.
Ryan mentioned this, and I'd be remiss if I didn't say it, but this is Wayne Manor, right?
It's basically Wayne Manor.
Oh, they shot it at the place? Like, the actual... Like,
it feels like
Batman
it movie? Is a former Wayne Manor set from the 90s or something.
I could see that. It definitely looks Wayne Manor-ish.
And it's populated by, I think as Bill Nighy's Victor points out, this decadent coven who just sit around in their little outfits drinking blood.
Like, it looks like what's, like... Just before the orgy, like everyone's sort of like kind of like necking
it's
and
like,
stuff.
Are
and
we
just...
gonna have an orgy or not? Because you guys
yes.
seem pretty boring.
Yeah.
For
vamps. It is like crazy, like the world that this movie builds, because it is like a unique world, and so you're, you know, it's...
Well, not too unique as we.
Well, right.
The creators.
In fact, I don't know if we addressed this, but the lawsuit did end in a confidential settlement.
Well,
maybe I should say it's a separate and distinct world.
Right.
A legally distinct world.
Eventually.
But
the Wachowskis have entered the lawsuit.
It does. Yeah. It does. have like the world it portrays of vampires is like there's the people who are involved in this movie doing the action stuff, but you get the sense that like most vampires, they do just sit around in like a manor lobby eating hors d'oeuvres and smoking cigarettes.
It's the lobby. It's not even like a fun like orgy room or whatever.
You're right. Like it's not like they're not at the party really. It feels like they're like getting ready for waiting for something. Like
they are. Well, we know this. This movie discusses it multiple times. They are waiting for the big party when Amelia comes and wakes up
by train.
By train, because hey, you got to travel by train.
It's the only way to do it.
But she's coming, you know, to wake up. Is it Marcus?
Marcus, yeah. And of course, another elder.
Selene jumps the gun by waking up Victor.
Her daddy.
So it is funny. It is like
everybody's like, hey, we're just hanging out. We're taking it easy for a few nights.
We're wearing our little outfits. We're ready.
When the waking happens, we're going to go fucking crazy.
I guess
so. This movie is presumably taking place in the modern day, I assume.
In 2003. 2003.
Yeah, 2003, yeah.
And it is funny that, like, it's not unusual that someone would travel by train in, also, I assume, somewhere in Europe is where this is taking place. But her train is, it's like she's coming in a 1800s train.
Yeah, she is coming on the Orient Express.
She's like arriving on like a novelty train that you take like kids on for rides.
Yeah, she's choo-choo. Here comes the vampire elder.
I imagine like a lot of like senior tourists are in the other car like, oh, well, that was fun. We should do that.
Oh, that was really nice.
It's a completely personal train. Come on. Yeah. These are vampires. These are old money.
That's the weird old stuff you do with old money is you buy you're like, you arrive at the train station. You're like, oh no, I have brought my own train. They're I will just be private. Using the trail.
Yeah, it's I guess yeah, if everything had gone to plan in the way that the vampires wanted in universe, then they probably would have had a big old blood orgy and it would have popped off, and Kate Beckinsale would have worn the see-through dress that her frenemy brought in. But Celine, she's not like other vampires. She likes to shoot guns.
She's a death dealer.
This coven could have used some new blood. Someone like Deacon Frost to like throw some EM in there and like get things going a little bit, you know, because it's boring. It looks
boring. You know who it could have used is Lestat.
Oh, like, no, you know, do you guys want to be evil?
I take that back. Not Lestat. It could have used Claudia.
Oh.
Throw Kirsten Dunst in there.
Throw Kirsten Dunst in there to just talk some shit. And
it really does, like... I mean, obviously, this is a different type of movie, but like, I had honestly had way more fun with Interview with a Vampire. It is a much more fun movie. There's more life.
I mean,
to the
I do think.
No pun intended.
It's better lit.
I'm sorry, Cody. I don't. I totally see your joy and where that would come from in this movie. I don't think this movie is a total disaster or anything.
Yeah.
But. Dave, I think Interview with the Vampire is just simply a much better movie than
okay,
Underworld.
Well, here's the thing. I would be remiss if I didn't say supposedly, Underworld and Underworld Evolution were originally one script that they cut into two.
Okay.
Oh, interesting.
The ending is very much like we're definitely getting a sequel. And it's
that
like
that explains why the second act of this movie is so meandering.
Yeah.
It's just,
exactly.
It's just
yeah.
Because they're stretching it out because the second movie comes out years later and it pops off immediately.
Okay.
I mean, that movie starts and there's more. Okay. There's more, you know, action. And
I'm Marcus.
Do you prefer? The first one in the franchise, because there's six of these movies, right?
There's
five.
There's five, and then an anime short. And
okay.
I think there's a hope for a sixth movie.
That Kate Beckinsale has said no thanks to.
I also see here in the Wikipedia fan fiction by Cody Isak.
Oh, wow.
And
the whole subheading.
Also, there was also three canceled crossovers.
Oh, I saw
that
as. Yep.
Well, so where do you rank Underworld, the first one in the franchise?
Okay, that's a good question. So of the five that exist, Underworld, Underworld Evolution, Rise of the Lycans, Awakening, and Blood Wars.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you this. I watched Blood Wars. I watched all of these movies recently, like a couple years ago. I cannot remember Blood Wars, but I do recognize the names of the people in it and what happened in it. So I'm not sure if I fell asleep in it or fell asleep in the other one when I was watching them back to back and confused the two. Because here's the thing. Let's get into the plot of this movie real fast, right? Underworld, right. vampires, werewolves, they're fighting it down the streets. Werewolves are tracking down some guy. They don't know why. Why? What is it? Why? Why?
Who's this human? What's this for?
Why a human? Why a human? What could he be? It's because the werewolves have discovered the ancient Corvinus bloodline. That's right, the very first immortal. A man who was infected with the plague in the 1400s or 4th century.
But he was built different.
But he was built different. And instead his body... His body absorbed the plague, and he's like, just kidding, motherfucker, now I can't die. And he had three sons, one of which bitten by a bat. Marcus, that's right. Marcus the vampire who's living in the fucking ground
right
now.
He's still here.
He's still alive. The other, William, bitten by a wolf. The third son, just a normal human guy.
Just a guy.
Tony, point of clarification. Wasn't even immortal.
I want to ask something for clarification.
Yeah, go ahead.
Are these then the first werewolves and first vampires in the lore of this universe?
Yes.
Okay.
In the underworld universe, yes.
So this isn't like the... Because the Anne Rice thing, it's like we have vampires from like ancient Roman times, right? So that's very much not the case here. These existed from a plague mutation starting in the 1400s.
Right. And so the third movie, Rise of the Lycans, takes place, you know, not that far into the whole vampire shebang, honestly. Underworld, right? That's what happens. They're tracking down the descendant of the human son. In this case, it's Michael Corvin, and he just happens to have the best, the most unique bloodline available. They've canceled out all the other descendants.
He also has a last name.
He has a last name.
He has a surname.
And in the rain, he slicks his hair back, and 14-year-old Cody goes like, yeah, I should keep growing my hair out long.
That would look cool as fuck.
That's the only thing different from me and him right now. Actually, I had long hair. Never mind. And it's not the point.
You're like, I needed a bob. That was the only thing.
That was it, yeah. Okay, so they do that, right? And then he gets bitten again, and they're like, oh, fuck, what have we done? We bit them both. And typically, they're you know, vampire bite to a werewolf or a werewolf bite to a vampire, they're mutually assured destruction. It is lethal to them. But not for this special boy. In a very special boy, those two things converge. And in him, he turns into, that's right, a dark elf. A dark elf from Dungeons and Dragons.
He also felt very X2 Nightcrawler. Like,
you know,
I was getting
early test pass of what the Avatar people look like.
They were like, nah, it's not the right shade.
Like in 2007,
not at all.
James Cameron was like rejecting that proposed
animation. Not the right
animation.
Color. It's not.
One of my notes here was, it's Matrix, but Trinity is the main character and a vampire, and Neo is Nightcrawler.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Neo turns into Nightcrawler. It's true.
Well, you mentioned her real quick. How does Celine
hold on? I still haven't finished describing the entire plot of all five movies and ranking them, David.
Oh, you're doing all five? Oh, my God.
All right, whatever. He turns into a dark elf, and that means he's an abomination. So now Celine and Michael, they're on the run from vampire kind and werewolf kind.
Okay, yeah.
Because Celine inexplicably has the hots for him.
Well, right. It's because of their insane chemistry, obviously.
That is
obviously
one of the most insane things in this movie.
It's crazy how bad their chemistry is.
They have nothing to do. Like, it's not even that they have bad chemistry and there's nothing there for them.
But their mouths touched once.
Is just like, we're in a movie, I guess.
Here we are, I guess.
Michael has, he has nothing to say to her. In one scene, she reveals her backstory. That's it. And that they're like, that's enough. That's all it is.
It's literally just like,
I mean,
there's nothing there.
As we know, Kate Beckinsale had much more chemistry with the director.
Truly. Meanwhile, her partner is playing the head werewolf.
Her baby daddy is the Lycan King.
It's almost like it's very meta. Like, you get the sense that, because there's a scene later in the movie when Michael Sheen has been shot with like silver nitrate bullets. Mm-hmm.
That's right, silver nitrate. Thank you.
And he kind of like crawls into the room. He's like, and he notices that Celine is basically in love with Michael,
he's
and it's
like,
mirroring
what?
His storyline. But again, you're watching it, and I'm just like, I see. This is like Michael Sheen watching her with Len Wiseman.
He's like,
it's just like, oh no,
it's so sick.
Okay, well,
oh no.
Like, he's bringing it to the scene because it's happening in real life. Like, oh my God, my wife is like being like
he's,
another guy.
He's
is
like,
romancing.
Hey, Kate, we have a 4-year-old together.
Do we talk about this during on the air? What we're talking about right now? With
we've
Wiseman?
Alluded to it, but is Kate Beckinsale and Michael Sheen were together for like the latter half of the 90s. She got him the role in Underworld, and then during production, she and director Len Wiseman got together and were married for like the next 10 years.
Oh, the rest of the Underworld franchise?
The rest of the Underworld project.
So,
yeah.
Honestly, and it's crazy because Martin Sheen comes
it's
back.
It's Michael
to the
Sheen.
Third movie.
Martin Sheen is Charlie Sheen's papa. So,
although I should say, Len Wiseman does not direct the third movie, he's a
yes.
producer.
But yeah, no, he is involved.
So,
but hey. Perhaps they're actually all cool about it. Maybe they're all really chill.
As the, from what I know of Michael Sheen, apparently he's a cool guy. So
Cody, they're on the run from the vampires
anyway.
And werewolves. Like,
thank
what,
you, Michael.
What,
thank you.
What happened? TikTok, though, Cody. TikTok.
They're on the run. That goes into Underworld Evolution. You know, they go to a vampire safe house. They're running away from Marcus, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, we don't need to get into all that. The third movie is a prequel to all of it that sets up Celine's backstory, but specifically is more about Lucien and Sonia. Lucien, of course, describes it in the first movie that the werewolves were originally a slave caste below the vampires. Which immediately, as soon as he reveals that, you're like, oh, okay, cool. Like, werewolves are the good guys. Yeah. Vampires are the sons of bitches. You know, and it doesn't matter.
There's always, I mean, in a lot of modern vampire versus werewolf stuff, there's like some uncomfy, like, racial undertones to a lot of it, including in this one. There is the one singular black vampire who is killed.
Yep. Our guy, Khan.
Khan.
He has like a really modded voice, too.
Yes. But you know, anyway, go on.
Fourth movie, Underworld Awakening, skips ahead. Celine wakes up, escapes imprisonment to find herself in a world where humans understand that vampire and lycan clans exist, and humans are conducting an all-out war to eradicate both of the immortal species.
I mean, I get it, because in the first movie, they're shooting up the subway. Like,
absolutely.
Of course you'd be like, fuck both of these guys.
It's definitely like one of those scenes where, like, this would have made, like, international news.
Yeah.
This is so gnarly. This must, yeah, exactly. And the later movies pick it up and say they do. And similarly, Underworld Blood Wars, that came out in 2016.
The Blood Wars.
Yeah, it's Celine is trying to prevent another outbreak of the war. She, like, the war is about to come.
They're
out.
Sounding more and more like StarCraft expansion packs.
And here's, so I say all
StarCraft
that, Michael,
also
to,
sued the Underworld series.
Yes. I say all of that, Michael, to answer your question about how I rank these. And you mentioned world building earlier. I think there is something very charming that these movies go all fucking in on their conceit. Like, they make a third movie in this franchise of vampire werewolf movies that is entirely set in the Middle Ages. That's fucking cool. Like, people don't make those kind of movies. And they did.
Like,
for one glorious day in 2009, they released a movie called Underworld Rise of the Lycans.
And I saw that movie in theaters. I remember seeing that. I saw this movie in theaters in 2003 at the same dollar theater that our own Ryan works at.
Aww.
Yeah, worked at.
And it, so, yeah. All of that to say, I do think the order of goodness is Underworld, Underworld Evolution, Underworld Rise of the Lycans, Underworld
it's
Awakening,
down.
And Underworld
it's just,
but
it's
maybe Rise of the Lycans is number two. Actually, Evolution might be number one, Rise of the Lycans might be number two, and number one might be number three, because Rise of the Lycans is more about the werewolves, and I prefer werewolves to vampires. Don't at me.
I mean,
wait, so you would put this...
Like, that's the real, like, story, like the Romeo and Juliet type story is the third one.
Wait, so out know, of the movies, out of the five movies, you would rank one, this one as the third?
Or maybe the first. Who can say?
Oh,
who
wow.
can say?
Okay.
I'm going to have to rewatch all of them again
I
to
guess
really
you do.
Nail in where it is.
Why do I feel like so are we?
Don't say it.
No, it's interesting. I could definitely see, like, where this movie would really be a cool thing for you to experience in, like, that time and place, and, like, you're ready for it. And it is, like, I do like that it is, I like when it gets to its own thing and gets to be specific and weird. I can see the series getting more, finding its own, like, I'm imagining it's less like The Matrix by the preceding movies. Which is a big thing with this movie that I think is some of the worst parts of this movie are when it's trying to be The Matrix and it's like, it's just not The Matrix.
No.
Like, which is not its fault. Like, it's not, you know, one of the best movies ever made. But it's just like the beginning shooting sequence is definitely like it's setting itself up for failure. I feel like it's like let's replicate like the Matrix sequence, but it's
way less. No, cool. Just,
it's not. That's, you know, you think of like the like Ryan was saying this. Like you think of the shots of like the Matrix of you know you can see them dropping the bags and like doing the cartwheels and like everything is so precise and beautiful. And this is like. It's just kind of all over the place and like you know it's kind of like it reminds the way this shot some like the action sequence really I feel like they're like TV level at the time or something like 20 I'm watching like 24 hours or something.
They're not very dynamic. Like it seemed like most of the action shots were like we're in a hallway and then like a bunch of guys are there. I walk in, poo, 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 dual wield, and just like I get to the side of a wall, poo, yes. Get to the other side, poo, poo. It's not
and throw a little slow motion in there, and it's
here's,
like eh.
Here's the thing. Here's all of this. These movies are every other action movie of the 2000s, and they were all trying to do the Matrix, but not do the Matrix. They were all trying to follow on that same thing. The difference is what makes the Matrix fucking pop is that they're doing all of this stuff with gunfights. But using all of this imagery pulled from comic books and anime and all these different like styles behind it, everyone else just takes the idea of dual wielding gunfights, and it's like that's
and that the costuming too is so similar, and even they try to replicate some of the swoops in the beginning. I feel like this is something that kind of tapers off as the movie goes on, but there's moments where she's turning a corner of a pillar and her leather jacket is swooping, and that's like. Okay, like
it's just the lobby shootout from the
and again
it even has tiled.
It's I think you're like setting yourself up for failure doing that though. Like it's like
because you what, just remember how
Dark Knight opening where it's like heat or whatever is like that works because it's done really well. But like, can you imagine how much shit that movie would have gotten if that like sequence sucked? You know, like. And I, you know, it's just it's an easy target, or like I don't know. You're just thinking like, wow, they're trying to do this thing and like not.
It's now just imagine 4 months before Underworld came out in theaters. 4 months, Matrix Reloaded came out, had more of these action scenes, and in the movie said, "Legends of Vampires and Werewolves." That's just programs, man. Anyways, continue.
Ooh.
Well, let's get to... Well, so I mentioned it before, like, Celine. She is a nothing. I'm sorry, in this movie.
Yeah.
She's a nothing
character.
You know, I was ready to go in being like, yeah, she's probably going to be nothing. And I think she, like... I think maybe my expectations were so low that I was kind of surprised that... Like, I think her character has something where... I think her character is sort of like a detective. I think she's like a bit of like a detective kind of character, which was not something I was quite expecting. But I think she's almost playing it like she's like a detective in a Law and Order movie or show or something, you know, like a true crime thing or something. But there's a bit of that with her like, you know, piecing together stuff and like researching and
barely.
You know, kind of, there is kind of like there's almost kind of a vibe with like the boss of the vampires, you know, the Craven guy, just sort of being like the chief. He's like, you know, don't look into this, you know, like I you know, like, you're not gonna like what you find.
I gotta say, it's a gigantic red flag that one of the rules is of your coven is
don't look into the past.
You don't look into the past. It's forbidden. No reason.
You're right, Dave. That is a huge red flag. That is a funny line that they drop.
Where, it's like, forbidden to look into the past.
It's forbidden. Like, oh, really?
I guess I can see where you're coming from with the detective of it all, but it feels very much like, as I said earlier, like, I'm not like other vampires. Yeah. I want to know things. And it's like, is the bar that low?
Well, what's interesting is, if you think about it, Celine, right, she is a warrior vampire. Mm-hmm. She's a part of the Death Dealers. She wants this race war to continue.
Yeah, she loves the race war.
The setup for this movie, the whole kind of thing is like, Craven and Lucien have been like, we're going to fake your death so that there can be relative peace. Like, straight up, that's the dog's game, right? He's like, we're going to make relative werewolf peace with vampires so we can all just kind of avoid that shit from now on. I want to stay in power.
Yeah.
Yes, he wants to be, you know, he wants to be in power. That's bad. But really what he's asking is, like, let's just let bygones be bygones.
Yeah, let's end the war.
And Celine's like, actually, fuck this. I want to I want to end all werewolves.
I and hate lichens because they killed my family.
Right, exactly, because they killed my family. Mm-hmm. And I know how I'll get what I want. I'll wake up the fucking boomer vampire who also wants to kill
I'll wake up my evil boomer daddy vampire.
I mean, only Cody, he will understand so right, the bloodlust like I feel in my
you're
heart.
You're perfectly describing it.
It's and because it she like, is racist.
I did find myself rooting for like the you know the bad guys of this movie.
It's
because Bill Nighy is the only one that has any goddamn charisma in this movie.
I think are you saying the bad guy is Bill Nighy or the bad guy as Lucien and Craven?
No, I was rooting for Lucien and
exactly.
Yes.
Lucien, I don't know if I was ever rooting for Craven. He is the hero of this movie.
I mean, I'm rooting for Bill Nighy to be on screen because I always enjoy him showing up.
Lucien, I did root for Bill Nighy to be on screen, but every time he was on screen,
Lucien
I was
having fun. Is the righteous one. It's I don't know. My opinion of Kate Beckinsale boils down to like, oh, she's really pretty.
Here's the thing, just, she is really pretty.
She's really pretty.
Although my tastes have matured as a wastelander now, but she's still pretty.
But it's just the like, oh, you didn't want to give her like stuff to do or feel or chew on.
Yeah.
She's so remarkably bland. They could have leaned into her hatred of the werewolves more.
If anything, like make her more racist.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
like,
honestly.
But when her frenemy vampire comes in who wants Craven for some reason, and Craven wants Celine for some reason.
He all wants of them Celine need because to... Celine is everything he can't be. Also, Celine is the kind of de facto daughter of Victor.
Oh, so sure. He can, and
he
wants
to kind of make, you know, bring her in to be really his main partner. Then it solidifies his power base even more.
And as we said in the Interview with a Vampire episode, vampirism is so much about incest at the end of the day.
It is. You just can't avoid it.
You can't avoid it. But in the like earlier part of the movie where Celine, she's doing her computer enhanced research about who's that mysterious human, and then Erica, the frenemy vampire, comes in and she's just like, I got a dress for you, and like you're gonna brush your hair, right? I don't think she says that, but literally me in the audience, I'm like, can't you run a comb through your hair, darling? I mean, I get it, it's raining, but what's with the fucking... And the whole movie, there's the one moment where she's awakening Victor against the rules, and she like bites her own like wrist to give him blood to plump back up, and it's this like for a moment just kind of like starkly beautiful, almost like Snow White, like she's so pale and dark haired with this blood on her mouth, and it's just like, oh, now here's a fucking image, and then it's just as quickly over, and it's like,
yeah, she wipes that shit off and gets back
to work. Like, where's my nude lip, and I'm like, come on, can't we have a taste of glamour here? But then Bill Nighy comes back in with his cloak, so I guess that's our
Bill
glamour.
Nighy comes back in a rubber suit and 50,000 blood tubes on his back.
He's like
Palpatine in Rise
nasty
of Skywalker.
Nasty Palpatine
suit. Just arrived at one of my big questions for this movie, and maybe it's explained in the movie, but maybe not. Maybe I missed it. So vampires are immortal, yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Why then the need to hibernate at all?
Because it sucks ass being alive for so long.
Yeah, it probably sucks ass.
It's a common thing, and this is straight up from the White Wolf. This is from the World of Darkness. The idea that like these head vampires, they all become so strong and stuff. It's like we can't keep warring with each other. Mm-hmm. So
I need a break.
We take turns going to sleep, because also it gets really boring. The idea.
So it's really an agreement. He's just like, okay, it's okay. I guess that makes sense.
He's like you guys take over a shift. I'm gonna sleep for hundreds of years.
Yeah, and it's not like this is like antagonistic. This coven has it, so it's like Victor does it. He's on for 100 years, and then he goes to sleep, and Craven rules for 100 years. Craven goes to sleep, and Craven probably he's young enough vampire that he doesn't want. He's not gonna go to sleep. It's these guys, Victor and Marcus, who are ancient
and
vampires.
Presumably and Dave, Amelia, I don't know.
I think there's a bit of like it is when you're like a burden of like when I'm on, I'm leading the vampires, and like that's like a
I don't want to do that an all obligation. The time.
Like it's a big thing, and there's a bit of like let them rest after that, you know?
Yeah, I have to go kill my daughter. I have to do all this shit.
That the movie stressed that that was the whole point of that or not?
It's. Well, but I feel like the movie itself, I think...
It was hitting you with, like, 15 other lore things that was like, all, like...
I feel like the movie itself kind of does emphasize that these vampires have a bunch of arbitrary rules just because.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
And it doesn't really make sense, but, like, whatever, they're weird immortals. They're so, of course, they're going to come up with arbitrary rules.
It's, like, a twofold problem, or I don't know, maybe it's not both ways a problem. When your movie is Underworld, and it's... And the protagonist is a vampire. That means the default for your world, for your like for your viewer, is the vampire point of view. Mm-hmm. And it's tough to do that when the vampire is so fucking crazy. The world is so much. So you would think it would be Scott Speedman's character as the person that we follow and learn the rules.
The
of
Neo, one from. Might say.
Yeah, I mean, it is
the Neo of the movie. But
it really is
like
you're doing the Matrix from the point of view of Trinity.
Yeah, from the point of view of somebody who's already so deep into it that they can't even like pick apart and explain the important parts. It's weird. But I also get it. They're like, you know, they made this movie and they're like, oh man, you know, Kate Beckinsale's hot. We should make her the main part of this movie.
What if there was a beautiful woman wearing a leather corset and you're like, yeah, great.
Shit so fast.
The tightest leather outfit I've ever seen next to Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman.
Yeah.
I've seen some tighter ones, but you have to go to some weird websites for that.
They don't show those in the theater.
Not in these kind of theaters. Anyways, where were we at? What the fuck were we talking about?
Speaking of costuming, I will say it becomes so monotonous where we get to like the end of the shootout and it's like, so wait, who are those guys in black leather? Those are vampires. Okay. And those ones are lichens. Okay. And you get the occasional like furry collar, you know, like jacket on some lichens, but it's like, if we're going to be heavy-handed, like throw some stupid, like, yeah, everyone wears like a fur coat or something, or like, it just is like, oh, wow, it's another person wearing black leather. Shocking.
Yeah, I think the aesthetic, so I don't think this movie is like shot well. I don't think it's edited well. And I don't think the aesthetics of it are like great. I like the werewolf transition stuff. But that's pretty much it. Like, I think the rest of it is just kind of drab. Like, it has like that's how I describe how this movie looks for a lot of the time is like just kind of like drab. Some of the city stuff is cool. I was joking about the rain, and I do think it's funny, but I think that's cool. Like, I do like that about it. I think that's like really different, and it does make me think this place is wet as hell, which is it is something.
Nothing
like
wrong with a wet as hell vampire city.
Like, there were definitely ideas here that I think maybe just weren't executed as well as they could have been, you know.
There's also the whole concept of like, this is the name of the movie, this is the underworld of like this unseen conflict between these two parties. It's like, you're doing all this above world, like, come on.
None of this is hidden. The first fight is below ground in the subway system,
but you get right into it.
The Matrix, like, you see some of like his life before, like, you know, the Matrix is like revealed, you know.
There's a clear difference.
I think you need like a bit more grounding for this to be like the underworld.
But no,
like,
it just seems
like the world.
We start with Kate Beckinsale perched on top of a rainy gothic building, and she's like, in the beginning there were lichens and those are the werewolves. Anyway, time to kill a werewolf.
You know, something just occurred to me. And you got to think, this came out in 2003. Mm-hmm. You know what came out in just 5 years before that, or 1 year before that? Blade and Blade 2.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Two vampire movies that have very similar aesthetics and, like, talking about, you know,
a secret world.
A secret world, but also like the vampires, they have all these rules, they have all these clans. Mm-hmm. Like all this shit is being reused from everywhere else.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the thing where they're just like, hey, people just saw Blade last year. We don't need to explain the idea that there's
There's vampires.
We'll let the world built in a different series of movies this one, so we don't have to do that.
Yes and no. Like, the idea, it's not a bad thing because they are, like, our movies are very much in the same world, which is, like, modern-day vampire-werewolf thing. Like, it's like broad-stroking stuff where it's like, all right, people get this part.
It's not a bad thing that the movie can't stand on its own.
I disagree. I think it does stand on its own. I'm just saying you're feeling like it's confusing. I'm saying if you watch this movie in theaters and you had just seen a year ago Blade 2.
You do understand the context.
You already fill in a bunch of the blanks. Or not even the blanks. Yeah. It's just like, oh, this movie's throwing all these rules at you. And you're like, yeah, but last year I learned all these other rules for the same kind of thing. So it's not outside of my, you know what I mean? It's relying on, you've already built the neural pathways to understand there are vampire clubs. And there are vampire
that's what they refer to as lazy, Cody.
That's not what that is. Hey, would you call Star Wars lazy? Because it's doing the same thing in a much grander scale. It's building off of existing tropes and ideas. I don't know. I'm just thinking. I'm just spitballing here.
I think because I was thinking of Blade while watching this, but specifically when those cops show up and we see them throughout the movie, and they're like trying to get the some guy who's the Neo. I was reminded of in Blade when there's that cop that is explicitly like, I work for the fucking vampires, duh. Yes. Like, I'm on their payroll. And then Blade, like, it's a great scene in the woman's apartment when Blade is just like throwing the cop into all of her like glass shelving, just like destroying her apartment. But through this in this movie in Underworld. For a good chunk of it, I'm like, so they work for the Lycans, probably, but it's not established till the very end, and it's like also then wrapped up in all the like, and also Kraven is working with Lucian. It's like, okay, so he probably works for the
Jackie,
Lycans?
I hate to be their bearer of bad news, okay. But you for sure see those police officer werewolves earlier.
Okay, but also to that point. None of these people look interesting or distinct enough to be memorable from scene to scene.
I agree.
Well,
there are three,
except for
there
Bill
are,
Nighy and Michael
except
Sheen.
Except for the sure. And the like two black actors who show up and you're like, well, I know that guy's the Lycan and that guy's the vampire.
There's three distinct
Everyone else, I'm sorry, yeah. You're trying to tell me I've seen that man before? That's that's just some European man.
We've seen 100 of them every day.
It's not to harp on it too much, but even in that opening like subway shootout, every other person that they cut to who's not the black guy or Kate Beckinsale, I'm like, was he a Lycan? Is he or no, he was a vamp. He was the vampire that came. And wait, is that the human too? And none of them look distinct enough to be memorable, especially in that first scene where you don't know anybody.
I was telling them apart because the vampires have the little teeth things. I feel like some of the actors were not doing great at handling the teeth things. It's like just, I feel like some of their voices sometimes were
a little. But I'm just saying, if there was a little bit more. Panache in the costuming where you could right away in a split second be like, oh, that's a wolf. Oh, that's a vampire.
They 100% should have like different clear aesthetics.
And it's like, even if one's, you know, the Lycans are wearing distinctly brown leather versus the black leather.
Jackie, I don't even think they're actually wearing leather. They're just wearing it. Just everything's so fucking dark.
Yeah.
Because they are mostly wearing, aside from when they're like in police gear, they are mostly wearing like threadbare black like sweaters.
To show that they're dirty like
very dark.
They're dressed
movie.
Like they're dressed like the people of Zion, but black instead of like earth tones.
This is like the kind of episode that if it was released today as an episode of TV, people would complain about it being too dark.
You'd
to
be like,
see.
I can't tell what's happening.
I can see that. And to the point of all this, right? is if you go onto the Chattopedia and you go to the, you know, slash list of Underworld characters, which is a page that exists, you'll see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 different named vampires in Underworld.
Right, and you're like, who?
And three named Lycans. Like, there's just so many guys that are just the background. It's like, and they're the background werewolves.
Yeah,
and
it's you're like, that's okay, that guess, vampire man. Who was holding a goblet of blood in the foyer. You saw him. It's like, I guess I believe you. He was smoking
a cigarette indoors on a long cigarette holder.
That's the other.
So ultimately, I guess what we're kind of getting to is, like, at least in my opinion, this movie doesn't really kick into gear until Bill Nighy shows up on the scene, because he's the one that gives the story thrust.
Hold on.
He's like, it's not until he appears that we get the backstory with him supposedly saving her from a werewolf that turns out he's the one. He went out on secret blood human bloodlust. Blood hunts. Killed Celine's family and only spared her because, like, hey, you look like that daughter I killed.
That I murdered.
It's true.
He is a monster.
I just want to again say that the movie does kick into gear at about 7 minutes in when a guy turns into a werewolf. I don't know if you forgot that.
And then
again,
nothing after that for a long time.
I'll vouch for my man, Michael Sheen, where when he is on screen, you're like, okay, so what is his deal exactly?
Yeah, I can't get behind the notion that this movie ever kicks into gear, but I think it has fits in. There's moments where is the engine on? Is it working?
Is it turning over or what?
Okay.
But do you guys remember how he has a sword that comes out of his arm? Pretty cool.
Hey, Chekhov's arm sword.
This movie needed more Lucian. He's essentially the bad guy, which you find out is ultimately the hero of the movie.
Which makes you think, doesn't it? Really makes you think.
A bigger point of conflict in the movie. Like, the movie felt like it was Caden Gear when he gets in on the scene. He's like, I gotta do this shit myself.
And the thing is, you feel like it does have a kind of twist in a way where you do kind of realize. Everyone clearly thinks, like, oh, Michael Sheen, Lucian. Michael Sheen as Lucian. He's like the good guy. He's the one who. But I feel like the movie tries to kind of like have its cake and eat its too, where like it would be really cool. And I think it would have been really effective if the movie almost like positioned then and now the point of view kind of becomes him and you're like following him. But it kind of like, it definitely doesn't. And it's still kind of. When the action sequences are happening after that, I'm like unclear who I'm like rooting for sometimes, or like what exactly I'm rooting for to happen. You know, like it's a little muddled.
Just a lot of scenes where you're like, oh, here's Craven again, and I know I'm not rooting for him, but again, he'll show up in the most outrageously 2003 shiny
club
blouse.
Shirts.
And I can't help but smile.
Yeah, very bad.
He's like, he doesn't
had a name tag that said, "Hi, my name is Traitor."
He's like, yeah, you know the word Craven with a C? That's me, but I spell it with a K. So,
but I do things a little bit differently.
Things a little different. Celine, but you will be mine, even though I know you don't want it to happen.
Like, I was with the movie when Michael Sheen's like, I guess I'll have to do this shit myself. I'll have to get the human, get him myself, get some blood.
Bite him.
It's a good action scene. We get a trailer moment where she like shoots the ground. Mm-hmm. You know, she's in like the second floor of a building. She shoots the ground in a circle and falls through. That's some straight up comedy. Book shit. It's like, okay, some stuff's happening. Michael Sheen gets the story going. He bites Michael, turns him into a werewolf, and he's like, ooh, this is something that will move the story forward. I have the blood that will enable us to turn him into a vampire hybrid, vampire werewolf hybrid, and that's the guy who we'll use to fight Victor, because evidently Victor is so ancient and so badass that no one can fight him.
That's the thing, Dave, is again, this is building off of World of Darkness, existing vampire shit, is the older the vampire is, just by nature, they're more powerful. They're stronger, more badass people.
They've amassed more mana, more XP.
Exactly.
And that makes sense. That makes sense.
And the people, there's like a whole lineage thing, right? The people who are their direct people that they sired are stronger than the people they sired. Okay. It's a whole, you know, pyramid scheme. But like, so that's why Celine is a badass death dealer, yeah. Because she was sired by Victor. Because
she has like, a big, powerful daddy, yeah.
Right. And so the rest of everybody else running around Craven's house, it doesn't matter who the fuck they are, because they are all sired by no-name vampires. Ain't nobody in there running around being like, well, actually, I'm Marius's kid. No, fuck that. Or Marcus's kid. Marius is a
werewolf. That's Lestat's dad, so.
Do you know that guy? I think Louis.
I heard he's...
Oh, God, I hate that guy.
Yeah, really. No, that's... you know, Lou, don't invite him to the blood orgy. He's a downer. Downer.
Louis would have been really funny to be plopped into this movie.
At the party, in the cocktail party, he's always telling me how he only likes to feast on rats. I'm like, dude, get the hell out of my
face. And I'm like, boring. Try putting on a sparkly mesh dress and then we'll talk.
He's always talking about losing his humanity.
Oh, my God. It's just like, pour yourself a goblet of wine, bro. We're all having a great time.
He was so much cooler when he was with Lestat, man. No.
I wish he'd just get back with his husband, right? It's like, I don't want to hear about your divorce again.
Oh, my God, Claudia, is that you? Come over here.
Hey, girl, what's up? Oh, she's evil as fuck, but tragic. I love her.
Well, let's jump to the end, the point where the movie, like, does stuff. We get the comic book style, like, climax with Victor just walking in like he owns the joint.
He's got his anime sword.
So he brings his sword with him. He slashes people's faces, and we get this.
The thing is, David, his potency and his alacrity are so high.
His aura.
He doesn't use guns. He uses swords. He's faster and stronger. His skill points and swords are so high. His dice pool, gigantic.
Oh my God, you wouldn't believe.
It made me laugh, like, because at this point in the movie, the Lycans have successfully injected the necessary blood into Michael. Mm-hmm. He has become a vampire werewolf hybrid, super strong.
Well, no, hold on.
It's funny because Victor shows up, he sees him, he's like, oh my God, you're an abomination.
Ugh, gross,
it's
kill him.
It's set up as if, like, Victor almost has no chance. It's set up that way at the beginning. Like, Michael is able to essentially teleport, basically, like, in front of
him.
He only
gets that level up when Celine finally bites him. After yes, it's been exactly. established, oh, like, well, well that means
because
death.
He gets lit up with silver nitrate.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, this guy's gonna die because he's a werewolf silver. Because here's the thing, Singe tells us this. When Celine drags that werewolf scientist's ass to Victor's lair, and she's like, tell him what you told me. And he's like, it's true, I'm finding the bloodlines, the Corvinus blood.
That's what we've been doing the whole time.
Double the strength, zero the weaknesses. That guy, right? He gives the whole spiel.
Yeah, so you know Marcus, right? And,
yeah, so he's going to be able to walk during the day and be immune to silver, and UV bullets will not work on him.
That was UV bullets.
He will be the Kwisatz Haderach.
Yes.
It's so funny. He's like so invested in his work. Like
he's labeled.
He's
good
like,
for him.
He's do happy to die.
Do what
by
you
the
love, and
it.
You never like, work a day in your life, in your afterlife,
he's
whatever.
He is like blissfully going into the afterlife, just knowing his work has been done.
He has served his dark purposes. His Dark Lords. I do really enjoy, and it's so, again, it feels quite anime, but the when Michael Sheen, because he's had this, like, you know, alliance with Craven, and then Craven is, of course, tries to double cross him because that's his whole fucking thing, and so Craven lights up Lucian Michael with the Sheen. Silver nitrate bullets, but it takes Lucian so long to die, and he's able to like drag himself back over to the action and be like, you have to bite it. Like, it's so fucking Vegeta core, like,
yeah. And he's so strong, though. He's such an old
he's
fucking
so
werewolf,
strong.
Dude. He's so strong.
And he's just like, you have to bite him. It'll work. It'll be okay. Don't worry. Don't fucking worry about it.
I have a monologue in me.
Yeah. I have got one more monologue left. Kill him, Kakarot.
Celine, I've signed the divorce papers.
I forgive you.
Yeah, Kojima would be like, Celine, in 1963, the Cuban Missile Crisis. John F. Kennedy. Yeah.
Celine, I've no hard feelings about the affair. We all do things, and you two seem really happy together. And all the best. Mwah, I love you,
Celine. I think this is inspiring a project I will embark on for several years on Showtime, Masters of Sex.
Check it out,
Celine. Do you think the director is having an affair with my girlfriend?
With my baby mama?
Celine, you have to tell me if you think that's true.
What do you think?
Character, the character of Celine, you have to tell me.
Look, to be clear, I'm okay with it if that's what's happening. I just would like to know.
So I want to ask there, I did see that there exists an unrated cut of this that's like 15 minutes longer.
There's more F words.
I'm curious, really? Like, have you seen that, Cody?
I guarantee you I have, because I remember, you know, we were talking about when Lucien shows up to hunt down Michael and, you know, really brings the heat, right? He's got his sword arm, he's chasing him down. I do remember watching the special features where they show how they do that.
Okay.
So if there was an unrated cut, I definitely watched it.
That's what it was. They're like, so this is how we attached the sword arm inside the jacket. It's actually very cool.
When he chases their car, you'll notice, of course, that the camera's looking up and there's a bunch of trash on the ground, conveniently blocking the bottom of the thing. That's where they drag the little treadmill that he runs on behind the car.
So he goes super fast.
Anyway,
the
unrated cut. I don't know. Let's do some quick.
Yeah, what if there's X number of minutes more of like people exploding in bullet with nitrate bullets?
I can't
or something.
Imagine this movie. If anything, should have been 15 minutes shorter.
How dare you?
They should have gotten to things faster.
So it's actually the unrated extended cut contains 12 minutes of additional footage and 11 minutes of replacement footage. That's really
interesting.
What would they have done?
They're like, we got a way cooler angle on on the shooting.
Yeah,
because we should say this is.
We should have put it in the real one.
This is an R-rated movie.
It is. So they say fuck more than once non-sexually. So.
I do think it's not the most intense R-rated movie.
You know what?
No. Yeah, no. It's fairly tame.
I'm thinking about it. It's the second movie where they fuck, so yeah.
Oh.
It's not in this one. I was going to say maybe there's an extended scene there, but
I mean,
I don't think there is.
I could see if there was, like, yeah, a version with, like, gratuitous vampire titties in the foyer or something. Cause that would have just given an air to, like, oh, yes, these decadent, you know, evil, sexy
now
vampires. Because it's like, so if we're going with R, then, yeah, come on, like, let's do it. But whatever.
Which is why you got to appreciate when the Wachowskis made Matrix Reloaded, they're like, all right, this is an R-rated movie. Fuck it. We're just going to have a giant
orgy
the first 15 minutes.
What are you going to do about it? What are you going to fucking do about it?
Well, you got to remember, again, that movie came out 5 months before this, 4 months before this one did. So Underworld 1, you know, they didn't get the time to learn that.
They were like,
that
you guys can put titties in? No!
I bet Evolution has a full orgy sequence. I'm sure of it.
Well,
one can only
thoughts
hope.
On this battle that's been raging for thousands of years?
Yeah, a ton. So first of all, I did have a question. Michael and David. Hey, what's it like watching these movies with normal human names where they say Michael and David all the time? Is it weird?
There's no vampire Cody.
It's not that weird because it's such a common name. You know,
So you don't even, like, when you hear the name Michael, you're not even, like, locked in, like, I'm Michael. Like, it's just, you're like, that's a name.
No, I don't.
They should have named Celine Jackie.
No, when I
Jackie.
Hear my name, I don't think I am that person.
Who, me? Oh, I'm Michael.
I would say,
like, oftentimes with movies like this where you have these royalty-like families, Marcus, Victor, Lucien, Craven, my eyes kind of glaze over a little bit. Like, this is kind of one of those roadblocks for me. I've mentioned this before on the podcast, but, like, this is kind of a big roadblock for me with, like, fantasy stories.
They should
stuff.
Get some, like, normal names like Lestat.
Well, just, I don't know. Just some, I don't know what it is, but my eyes just kind of glaze over.
So when you hear David, you go, thank God, finally a human name.
Yes.
Because okay.
No.
I lock in. Like, I hear a Cody. I immediately am like, okay,
well,
I have to mentally compare myself to this Cody. Is he a good representation?
I think it's kind of more just because the names in this aren't, like, hard. Victor, Marcus, Lucien.
No, but they're a little bit more, like old-timey.
I don't feel like the name, someone with the same name, like, the name Michael has, like, a reflection on me, really. I don't view them as a carrier of the name Cody.
I'm with you,
like,
Cody. Whenever
like
a Jackie...
some guild.
Whenever a Jackie appears in fiction, I'm just like, okay, all right.
Yeah,
and usually it's
like,
a bitch. So I'm
what's up,
yeah.
girl?
Usually it's someone who you're meant to be like,
Yeah, and that's why I kind of want to know, you know. That's why I was like, well, what's it like when there's a Michael who's good, a Michael bad? Like every movie, there's a Michael. Like, you get to just be like, is that you're like, okay, I'm drawing the comparisons, or you're just like, yeah, okay, it's interesting. I'm just curious.
Well, to your point, I will say that sometimes, like when I watch a movie stoned and the character's name is David, it's like a part of my brain like responds like
me.
Is she talking to me?
Honestly, whenever there's even a character named Jack in movies, I'm kind of like, huh?
Which is every action movie.
Well, you're not wrong.
All right, so another thought I had. Going back to all this, it's Underworld, it's World of Darkness. I gotta say that the focal point of this movie, right, is the creation of a half-vampire, half-lycan supreme being. Mm. And that is
all Nightcrawler.
It is all Nightcrawler. It is such a... baby's first role-playing game player shit to be like, I'm a half elf.
I'm actually a super-powered hybrid.
Yes, it's such nonsense. It's like,
do you think this is all backstory for Len Wiseman's like OC
for his campaign? Yeah,
no, because I think it's Kevin Graveau. I think it's his. He's like, this is my shit actually, because he went on to write I, Frankenstein, which is
one of the failed crossovers.
He wrote the graphic novel for I, Frankenstein, because this guy just loves monsters and he's in that you know, role playing game universe.
It does. And that's why your fan fiction does fold so beautifully into just the everything we've talked about, because it's like, yeah, what
could cross over?
Why wouldn't there be your stepdad's brother's evil twin? Like, of course, come on, of course. Of course. And of course, yeah, and actually I am the sister of that character who we all like, except I have more powers and am cooler and prettier, and everyone is in love with me. And that's it.
And that's just what we're going to play for the next year, and the story's going to, and a year later, actually I started to like the Blade movies more, so we're going to bring in Blade as a primary DM
NPC. Blade
DM
is my
NPC.
Other boyfriend, and he and Lucien fight over how much they both are in love with me, and Celine is my best friend, and she agrees that I'm way prettier than she is.
This is another note I had, which is, this is just like a Vampire the Masquerade role-playing game group. The players come in, they're couples, they start breaking up and hooking up with each other. That shit is
and
the tale as old
messy,
as time.
Messy, but interesting.
I think this movie's all right. I agree it has a very slow second act. Again, basically a nothing second act. But it ends so strong with that revelation that Singe's blood is pouring into Marcus's thing.
And he snaps his vampire eyes open.
It's like, fucking, of course you had another movie locked and loaded, ready to go. Because that is such a good little, like, yeah, Victor gets pissed off, smashes his face, blood pours. And I really like the way they set up this idea that it's like, oh yeah, you share the blood, you get all of their memories, and that's why it's all fucked up, and they have to do this like very special awakening procedure because you need another ancient vampire who knows how that process works.
Yeah, to guide it, properly.
Because otherwise, you're fucking pumping your vampire lord full of dirty werewolf blood.
Yucky.
He's gonna pop out of that fucking ground crazy.
Yup. That's why you don't let your stupid vampire daughter revive you, because she's going to get all confused.
She doesn't. Well, is there no she's one... not up to the task.
No.
Could they not have told one of the people waiting for the orgy that never happens out in the foyer to come in and clean up? Like, come on, you just leave
you guys,
a dead body
you
there.
You guys must have some vampire servants in this hierarchy. Come on.
Well, remember, they're like, oh, fuck, it's abomination time. Yeah, there are a lot of vampires who just hang out who are not a part of the Death Dealer squad.
Seems like you could do some cleanup.
Yeah. Really quick, Jackie, earlier you're talking about costuming. The Death Dealer squad, aside from Celine, they all share a very similar wardrobe, which I see in like two other places that it's what it makes me keep thinking of. The movie Equilibrium, where they're all running around in giant trench coats that are sealed up to their neck, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And then they look like the kids, not the kid. Is it the kid? No, the Rainmakers thugs in Looper. When they show up and they all have the flat hats and then the like tight leather dusters.
They look like
it's just, you know, it's an interesting style choice.
And a leather duster is obviously a strong choice, but again, when we're in the shadow of the Matrix, it's like, oh, really, a leather duster? Okay.
Right, it's not as interesting, but they at least make the choice to make it like buttoned up. It's not open like Neo's. But then, of course, 4 months earlier, Neo showed up and he's not wearing that duster action anymore. He's wearing like an old school Grandmaster Kung Fu robe that looks like that. Anyways, it's all very interesting. It's a good movie.
Something interesting I just wanted to mention. I don't know what to do with this. I have to say it. So Underworld franchise that largely stars the action stylings of Kate Beckinsale. Feel like has a similar trajectory, maybe a similar place in culture as the Resident Evil movies, which kind of similarly star and feature Mila Jovovich.
Yep.
Mila Jovovich is on the soundtrack to the Underworld.
I saw that.
Yeah. A song called Rocket Calling.
Honestly?
Huh. She's all right. She's in there.
I had to like double check. It is that Mila Jovovich.
Well, and also there was a planned crossover with Resident Evil at one point.
Really?
Another failed, crossover.
This felt very, if we're like talking about what we thought about the movie, this felt similar to how I feel watching a Resident Evil movie, some of those movies.
Where you're like, oh, I get it. Sure.
Yeah.
There's like stuff there.
Maybe this is, I feel like the filmmaking here, I was going to say, I had more fun with when we watched Resident Evil, the first one. It's a really dumb movie, but at least it's fun and kind of knows it's dumb. Mm-hmm. This movie, up its own ass a little bit, you know? I don't know.
They were too busy having affairs all over the place.
It's not a bad movie. I think it has a boring second act, but I think Michael Sheen and Bill Nighy just hold this movie up on their shoulders. They are compelling when they're on screen and just like they're the only ones making acting choices. Like no one else is going you know, like Bill Nighy is.
Yes.
That moment happens out of nowhere. It's not motivated by anything. Just
yes.
He's wearing all that goo on his face.
I was so negative about the aesthetics choices of this movie. That's one of the highlights, though, I'd say, is Bill Nighy. He's like weird.
When he's like half zombie.
Yeah, before he's fully back, when he's like half zombie and just full with tubes.
He's kind of like an old cat, you know, where they kind of like do a hiss or a hack.
And you're like, oh, are you good? And it's like, yeah, I'm fine. Shut up.
The other, like Erica, we see when Erica realizes that Michael has been bitten by the werewolf.
Very cat-like.
He's a werewolf. She jumps up and then hisses at him, right? She jumps up on the ceiling and does a hiss. Vampires are cats, werewolves are dogs.
That, which is true. That's all very true. Although that point specifically is just like in one of the later action scenes where, you know, people are like running up the stairs and it's like Erica jumped to the ceiling just by getting spooked. Like, you guys can't do a big old vampire jump? Lame.
They're just guys.
Yeah.
They're just
baby. They're fledgling vampires.
They
haven't even seen their first awakening. All they do is they know how to go out, lie, shoot werewolves with silver bullets, so it's not even that hard.
I guess maybe it's a lot deeper than we think. This is a metaphor for militarized combat where just send out some infantry with little training and guns, just to, who cares if they die, you know? This is a commentary on the military industrial complex.
It's a huge commentary on that. Absolutely.
Oh, I should have realized.
Scott Speedman, the Jesus Christ, the Kweezat Haderach of the movie, and you're kind of barely in it, and everybody else around you's fucking each other but not you.
You're just like, hey, I'm here at work.
Can we, Len? Can we at least have simulated sex in the next movie?
sure, but with some other chick.
Well, I think that about wraps it up on Underworld.
Does it? Are we sure? No other questions? No other?
Because I'm ready to answer anything.
This has been on far longer than I thought it would.
What do you want? You want us to? Here's the problem, Dave. I almost got
the
on this
next
call.
Act is coming up, Cody. You gotta get off stage.
I almost got open this mic and was like, "So it's gonna be one of those where it's like, hey, it's a fun movie. What do you really talk about? You know."
So we all had an amazing time.
Honestly, there was a point where I'm just like, "There's not much to say about this movie. It's kind of bland."
Whoa.
That second act is really nothing. Anyway, well, let's get into recommendations. Jackie, let's start with you. Would you recommend Underworld?
You know, before this discussion, I would have said no. Having the presence of Cody here did. I had a lot more fun talking about it. So, you know, I'd say, why not? Watch it. Why not? You
we
know?
Always, sometimes these, this is just the best movie poster quotes. Why not?
Why not? I mean, we're here, so we're...
Yeah, and you might like it. And guess what? Great news. There's four more.
You're not going to run out anytime soon.
And a short film.
I do really enjoy the added context of Vampire Masquerade of it all and the litigation following and the home wrecking. You know, there's enough meta commentary
and the settlement.
I feel like there's enough background with a lot of stuff where you'd be like, oh, interesting. Yeah. So why not?
What about you, Mike? Would you recommend Underworld?
No. I wish I could. But I don't think there's enough for me that... this movie is not like a Madame Web, right? Like, I think there's certainly bright spots in this movie, but I don't think... Yeah. Like you were saying... I'm coming back to it when you were saying, oh, it kicks into gear when this happens. I don't think this movie ever kicks into gear. I think there's just kind of sputters of bright spots. But it, for me, it doesn't ever, that engine never hums. So I cannot recommend this film.
You know, I think I might have to agree with that. Like, because I said kicked into gear, but really that was just a scene. Like when Michael Sheen shows up and then at the very end. So there's like two fun scenes in the movie. So I guess on that note, on a whole, I guess I wouldn't recommend, but this is not a terrible movie, just to say that. Like, I don't want to make it sound like I hated this. Like, it was fine, you know? But, like, there are better movies. Like, go watch Blade. You know?
But, David, are there better vampire versus werewolf movies?
I haven't seen the other Underworld or Twilight films.
You know what I would say? I would say, from my vague memory of it, I would rather watch Rise of the Lycans. That feels like more of a story. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the medieval one you were saying, right, Cody?
That's the third one. Ooh. Yeah, it's the prequel. But here's the thing, Dave. You can't. It's just like people going back and saying, I'm going to watch episode one before I watch episode four. You can't watch prequels. The movies are built on the context that you know what came before it. You got to watch Underworld 1 and Evolution.
I think Rise of the Lycans is just it's more self-contained, honestly. It has a beginning, middle, and end.
I think we have to watch all of these. I don't think we have to do it anytime soon, you know, or in it all at once.
Did I remind you that 1 minute ago you did not recommend this movie?
Well, he doesn't have to watch this one over. He can
That's
watch
true.
The next one.
Wait, hold on. Just to clear,
we should probably just watch episode one, right,
Michael? You're not asking that we watch the movie. You're not asking that you watch the movies. You're asking that we watch the movies, not you. Everyone else on this show.
I won't necessarily be there. I mean,
yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be able to be on.
You're
all
telling me you're
going to
go into hibernation conveniently while we watch the rest of the
Underworld.
Yes, you can wake me up in 100 years when you finish talking about all of the Underworld franchise. 100 years, I feel like you're going to get it all out of your system. There's going to be no more Underworld talk 100 years from now. So that sounds like a good time for me
there
to.
There will have been a few more apocalypses that we would have lived through.
Right, right. There's probably a reboot that happens.
And
I'm
then
sure.
You'll be like, all right, I'm ready to talk some movies.
Is that what you think, Cody, is the future of the franchise? Like, I feel like if this comes back, it's not going to be an Underworld 6. It's going to be like Underworld, like, you know, and a reboot
yes.
and a remake.
I think so, because the sequels, because here's the thing, man, as I said earlier, God bless these movies, they swing for the fences every time. They're like, here, we're going to do something, we're going to go big. So these movies, you know, when they got to movie 4 or 5, they're like, no, fuck it, everyone knows they exist, no, fuck it, it's even in the future, no, fuck it, there's another big war. So, like, you know, I think...
They should have done a space one. They should have gone into it. Now it's a space war.
Yeah, it's going to be Underworld 72.
Like actually, it turns out the werewolves come from one planet, vampires from another.
Oh, that's what the plague was.
Hold on. Isn't that sort of what the interview with the vampire series ends up being is that the vampires are aliens from another planet.
What?
That'd be sick.
I'm not familiar with that.
I'm pretty
sure they are like demons.
I'm not on the. I don't know about that part of the iceberg in the interview with the vampire.
I have
lore.
No doubt that Anne Rice was like, yeah, and then they're aliens. I don't know.
That doesn't surprise me because I do know like the Atlanteans are involved in vampire Anne Rice vampire lore.
Oh, that crazy, crazy
so
bro.
All of that to say that I love when there's big world building like this, big crazy stuff. But I do think if they were to go back to this and remake it, I do think, because again, we're 20 years on now. Kate Beckinsale's 50. She's not going to be in the same role that she was. You know, she can be like Trinity in The Matrix Revolutions if they really were, you know, awesome and wanted to do something like that. They won't, though. They will do a reboot.
They're going
to
have Millie Bobby Brown as Selena. And
excuse me, Millie Bobby Bon Jovi.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Like, I mean, it sounds like what they should do is to just do like a Vampire the Masquerade movie.
Yeah, and this time just get the rights for it.
Yeah, pay for the rights, man.
Yeah, because they need it. Those, I mean, that game it does is not sound as like popular as it was in the 90s.
A lot of the cool stuff. I mean, I guess some of the stuff I didn't like, but it sounded cooler in The Vampire the Masquerade the way you described it, Cody. But like that sounds like the best parts of this movie is just the Vampire the Masquerade parts.
Michael, and if I Vampire the Masquerade, really good title.
If it is a good title. If I could make one recommendation to you, Michael, I would say seek out in the ruins of the waste, seek out Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines, the 2004 Ooh. PC game.
I'm very familiar with that CRPG, Cody.
Okay.
I haven't played it, but that's like that is 100% on my like games I want to play someday. Yeah.
It's so fucking good.
I've heard nothing but good things and it sounds really interesting and I'm sure explores the lore.
Inevitably that will be adapted with again Millie Bobby Bon Jovi Brown. So
perfect, exactly.
I suppose I know the answer to this question, Cody, but would you recommend Underworld?
Yes. I give it to Heckler and Cox way up, you know. That's I think the kind of gun she shoots.
All right, well, we gotta get going. The place is closing up. Sun's gonna be coming up soon.
Oh,
we all
shit.
Gotta go back into our underground tombs. But next week, from what I hear, we're gonna class the joint up a little bit. With a foreign film.
Underworld Evolution? Oh.
No. When we return, we will be watching Let the Right One In. Until next time.
What a nasty sound to have in your podcast.